French luxury goods giant LVMH pulls out of a deal to acquire Tiffany's, citing trade tensions. But that might not be the only reason.
There have been rumblings for the past 3 or 4 months that Bernard Arnault, the chief executive and controlling shareholder of LVMH and also one of the world's richest men, was trying to figure out a way to get out of this deal because he paid a pre-pandemic price for a post-pandemic luxury goods company.
And a recording sheds new light on President Trump's downplaying of the coronavirus threat. Plus, how crafting beat out electric cars on the S&P. It's Wednesday, September 9th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. U.S. stocks rebounded today after 3 straight days of declines. The Nasdaq gained 2.7% after a sell-off yesterday that pulled the tech-heavy index down more than 10% from its recent record high. The Dow added 1.6% and the S&P 500 rose 2%. In a new recording released today by CNN, President Trump told journalist Bob Woodward back in March that he was deliberately playing down the severity of the pandemic to avoid inciting panic. Our White House reporter Rebecca Ballhouse has more on the implications for the president.
The president has sort of flip-flopped over the course of the year on how serious he thinks the virus is and on how much Americans need to change their day-to-day activities to blunt the spread of the virus. But I think the admission that he was sort of deliberately playing this issue down is going to be a problem for him. It's something that Joe Biden has already seized on. He's accused the president of lying to the American people. And I think, this is an area where public health experts have long said that the president's mixed messages on the threat posed by the virus hampered the effort to slow its spread. And this is certainly not going to help what has already been a tough area for the president, which is his handling of coronavirus.
The White House said today that Trump had not misled Americans about the threat of the virus, adding that it was important to express confidence and calm. The Trump administration says it'll cut U.S. troops stationed in Iraq from about 5,200 to about 3,000. It would be one of the steepest cuts since President Obama withdrew most forces from Iraq in 2011. President Trump had promised in his 2016 campaign to reduce the American military presence in Iraq and Afghanistan. We report exclusively that Ireland's privacy regulator has sent Facebook a preliminary order to stop sending European users' data to the U.S. It's the first significant step EU regulators have taken to enforce a July court ruling restricting user data transfers. Our European tech reporter Sam Schechner says there could be broad implications for other big tech companies, too.
The way its systems work now, data about European users is often stored in the U.S., and so the company would likely have to re-engineer its services to silo off most of the data it collects from European users and keep it in Europe, or possibly stop serving European users entirely. If that reasoning applies to other companies as well, it would affect other big tech companies that are subject to the same surveillance laws.
And after a 6-month ban, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says restaurants in New York City can resume indoor dining at 25% capacity at the end of September. Restaurants have been able to offer takeout and outdoor dining, but the industry has still struggled to make ends meet. Restaurants will have to abide by other restrictions as well, like checking customers' temperatures and taking contact information from at least one person in each party for potential virus tracing. Coming up, the international merger between luxury brands LVMH and Tiffany's is on ice. After the break, we'll explain why. International trade tensions, the coronavirus pandemic, and luxury goods. They all play a role in this story. French luxury goods giant LVMH says it's backing out of a more than $16 billion deal to acquire U.S. jeweler Tiffany's. For more details, we turn now to Paris correspondent Matthew Dalton. Hi, Matthew. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
So can you recap for us what's transpired over the past 24 hours or so regarding LVMH's plans to acquire Tiffany? What precipitated all of this?
So at the beginning of September, LVMH received a letter from the French government saying, we're still a little unclear exactly what it said, but because they haven't disclosed the letter, asking, perhaps ordering LVMH to delay its acquisition of Tiffany until at least January 6, 2021, with the goal of helping the French government in its trade negotiations with the Trump administration. Right now, there are a bunch of trade disputes that are in play between Washington and Paris over France's plans to impose a digital tax on U.S. tech giants such as Facebook, Google, Amazon, etc., and also disputes between Airbus and Boeing over subsidies that both companies are alleged to have received. It's a long-running trade battle. Anyway, there are a number of retaliatory tariffs that Washington and the EU are planning or potentially threatening to impose on each other. So France asked LVMH to delay the deal in the hopes that somehow that would be a negotiating chip, a negotiating lever that the French government could wield over Washington. And in response, LVMH said this morning that it has decided not to go ahead with the deal because the deadline in the merger agreement for the deal is November 24th. The delay is pushing back the deal until after the deadline. So LVMH is saying this pressure, this order from the government has rendered our merger agreement null and void, and we're walking away.
Now, Tiffany, on the other hand, has said this is potentially a false pretext and that the real reason LVMH pulled out was because of the pandemic's adverse effect on the luxury industry. Tell us about that argument and what Tiffany is saying about this.
Well, there have been rumblings for the past 3 or 4 months that Bernard Arnault, the chief executive and controlling shareholder of LVMH, and also one of the world's richest men, was trying to figure out a way to get out of this deal because he paid a pre-pandemic price for a post-pandemic luxury goods company. This deal was negotiated in November 2019, just a few months before the pandemic exploded. So without the offer on the table that LVMH had made, which was near Tiffany's all-time high share price of Tiffany shares would have been much lower, plunged, and the company is worth a lot less than they paid for it, arguably. So LVMH there had been rumblings that they were trying to at the very least renegotiate the deal. Tiffany, in their response to some of these negotiations, which we now know happened because Tiffany has disclosed this in its lawsuit against LVMH, which it filed today, rejected any efforts to try and renegotiate the price, and said, you have to stick to this agreement and there's no way for you to get out of it. And now this French letter comes along and LVMH is saying, this allows us to get out of the agreement because we are facing essentially a government order that will forbid us from closing the deal by November 24th, the deadline.
Broader picture, how has the luxury industry been faring during the pandemic?
Not very well, like a lot of industries. Sales are down quite sharply. You know, during the depths of the pandemic, sales were down 50-60% because many boutiques across the world were closed. Only some of that can be made up through online sales in the luxury goods industry. So things were not great. Now with reopenings, the economies in much of the world allowing boutiques to reopen, people coming out of lockdown, things have been going better. But still, it's been tough. And one of the fundamental problems the industry faces is that a lot of the spending that happens on luxury goods is done by tourists, spending when they travel. That's true of American consumers, but it's particularly true of Chinese consumers who do most of their spending outside China, actually, when they come to tourist hotspots in Europe, like Paris, Milan, London, and also to New York, Los Angeles. And those are the customers that Tiffany, in particular, the ones who come to the U.S., depend on. Tiffany has a very American-centric business, but it does rely heavily on those tourists. So this is a persistent problem for the industry, and it's going to be a problem until really travel flows come back to normal, and who knows when that's going to be.
So what happens next for LVMH and Tiffany?
Well, Tiffany has sued in Delaware Chancery Court, and LVMH has to convince the court that it could not complete the merger because of this order from the French government. Now, Tiffany has said and has said that, well, this order is not really an order. The French government cannot all of a sudden, seemingly with not much of a legal basis, just command a company not to execute a merger because it would perhaps harm France's negotiating position in trade talks. There has to be something much more concrete legally for this merger to be considered really impossible and for the merger agreement to essentially be nullified. And absent that, LVMH could be looking at some pretty hefty fines. If they don't settle with Tiffany, there's going to be a trial, and the trial will determine what kind of fine LVMH pays. And it could be a lot of money if they can't convince a court of that the agreement has been nullified.
Wall Street Journal Paris correspondent Matthew Dalton. Matthew, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Appreciate it.
And finally, online crafts marketplace Etsy was added to the S&P 500 last week. That was a surprise for many investors who'd expected the spot to go to electric car company Tesla, whose market value has ballooned in recent months. So how did DIY edge out big tech? Our Tech Heard on the Street columnist Laura Foreman says Etsy's fortunes were boosted by a sudden must-have accessory.
They've become a huge seller of face masks, so homemade face masks. They said actually when they reported their second quarter in August that they sold 29 million face masks in the second quarter alone. So they've really broadened. And with those masks, they've shown that they've been able to bring in consumers who had never used the platform before, who are now looking at it, they're repeat buyers, and they're buying other things on the platform.
Foreman says that means even after masks are no longer a mainstay, Etsy's crafty climb could have more staying power than investors realize. And that's what's news for this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.